From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Another week in the great outdoors. Another week brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Time, man, this has been probably the best year. And we've been saying that for a long time, but it's been another great year. Hot conditions, getting those blood pressure up on the deer and getting that antler growth going. And if you've got your Lucky Buck, man, you've seen. If you've been watching your trail cams, you've seen what Lucky Buck is doing to help get your antler growth going on the deer, getting ready for October 1st, the opening day of bow season here in Michigan. Also brought to you by HHA Sports, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and Costa Sunglasses. And before we get into our first guest, Brian Brosdahl, I want to thank Scentlock of Michigan for setting the new gear for this year, and also to Costa Sunglasses for the new 580G, the 580G glass shades that we are now sporting. Absolutely love Costa Sunglasses. And, bro, Brian Brosdahl joins us, and I know you're a big fan of the Costas also.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Duran. Yeah, it's the Costas protect your eyes. And there are a lot of lakes I'm on have stuff you could run into. You know, of course, the graph will get you really close, but you don't want to run your trolling motor into stuff. And you can see down in the water. You can see the fish when they follow. It's nice having a good pair of glasses like Costa's.
Absolutely. And you're joining us right now. It's been a little hot lately, bro, and the panfish are making some moves. It's not shallow water panfish right now. It's not even close to the weeds like we've normally seen. You say that they're probably moving out a little bit into deeper water?
Oh, yeah, they're on the move big time, and it happens. There is a migration, especially if you've got a chain of lakes or any kind of creek or river system coming through a lake. A lot of times when we get through that hot weather, right about now is when the panfish, you'll have not all of them, but you'll have a percentage of them that'll go into, even if it's shallower water, if you have any current, they'll find that current, and the bluegills and crappies will be just jammed in there, and I'm sure there's people cussing going, well, we don't want, you know, that's a secret, you know, in some areas, and right now, you get into these little pockets, and these fish are just jammed in there. Wherever there's a deep hole or a bottleneck, you definitely need a bottleneck to jam it up, and the fish just go in there, and it's really good fishing. But besides any kind of river or anything, even on the small lakes or you know, anything from 100 acres to 1,000 or 10,000 acres, the panfish are slowly going to start moving out of the weeds as the weeds start dying off. The days get shorter. The sun got bright and burnt out the weeds. And in a lot of places, they're already turning brown. All different types of weeds, you know, from northern milfoil to cabbage, coontail, waterwort, you name it, whatever's the eelgrass. This stuff starts dying off, and the water gets turbid, well, the fish start seeking out other stuff. And anything such as rocks, logs, timber that's been dropped in a lake during the logging era, that stuff that's sunk, if anything's kind of stacked or different, the fish will hold to it. And as you start getting into northern Michigan, also into the UP across the bridge, there's some nice rock features and rock structures. And panfish will hold to that stuff because it's what they have, you know, other than the weeds. If the weeds get toxic, as they die, they consume oxygen. And they're not healthy to be in anymore, so the panfish will leave. And everything depends on weather and wind. If there's a lot of heavy wind, it kind of cleans out the weed beds. But for the most part, they do leave. And they're getting closer to going to open water. Some lakes they probably already have because we've had really hot weather and we've had fronts coming through. But they don't necessarily drop to the bottom. They'll be suspended. And this is a great time to approach panfish by using just a simple method I like to use. It's just a 1 ounce sinker, a slip sinker. You just put it on your line, and you can drag a little mimic minnow or some ice fishing tackle. even in 20, 30 feet of water. And what I like about that 1 ounce is it gets you right down there, but you still need a soft rod to detect bites, because when you're dragging that heavy of a weight, it's hard to detect. But you could put a small crappie minnow, and it's just like a walleye rig for deep water, mm-hmm. except you got a panfish lure at the end of it, and small spinners and hairpin spinners, or even little tiny micro crankbaits are just phenomenal this time of year for getting them to go.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here. You can find him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick him up on the Meet the Experts portion of the site there. Bro, it's not really the massive feeding frenzy that we get about the fall. So, you know, when people are hearing that they can use like a wax worm on a maybe something small, tungsten, on an ice fishing rig, they're probably shaking their head right now.
Well, yeah, you can use in even a chunk of a crawler. Leeches are great. If you could still get them, get a few of them and save them up. But I cut them up. I cut them into little pieces, and I put them on lures. And you don't need the super micro stuff. The bigger ice fishing stuff is what I like to use, like the bro bugs or the gill getters or the mud bugs. They're a little bit, the bigger ones that in ice fishing, it's not micro enough. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I like to save for summer. And actually use them under slip bobbers. Doodle bugs have a great big hook. Some of them, you know, you look at them, this ain't much of a panfish jig, but people use them for perch, and they use them for crappies. But that's actually a great under a bobber kind of thing. Doodle bugs and creep worms with a leech, mm-hmm. their slip bobbers, a great summertime bait. But this time of year, you take some of that stuff, or just take a little spinner or a bow tie spinner and put it on your line with one bead, and put a little hook on the back of there with a chunk of bait, and it's just a great presentation. And, you know, the old hairpin spinner, like the old beetle spin, but on a mimic minnow or with a gypsy jig or any kind of feather jig, and attach a hairpin spinner, and then drop it down there with that half the 1 ounce weight to get it down in the zone, especially if the fish are down in 20 to 30 feet of water, the crappies and bluegills, you can get it right down to them. Another presentation, once you've found the fish, this works really great, is taking small, heavy spoons, like a buckshot rattle spoon, mm-hmm. a 32nd ounce or an 8th ounce, and put a chunk of crawler on it and jig it. You'd be surprised how these deep water panfish will attack it. And then also puppet minnows or micro jigging wraps work really good. And you're not ripping them. You're just pumping them just to give a little bit of action and attraction, and those things will come out of woodwork. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the sporting goods shops now. If you go to your local shop, there is micro crankbaits that are just unbelievable. Little tiny shad wraps and salmos and little things that are real tiny. They're the size of a jelly bean, these little crankbaits. You could put them behind there, and it's not rocket science. You know, you just want to make sure your line's at a 45-degree angle once you found the fish and drag it through. And you don't need to rip it real fast at walleye speeds. You could just go at 1.5 to 2 miles an hour, and that just put the crankbait, the little tiny micro crankbait or the little spinnerbait beside your boat, mm-hmm. and watch what it does. And if it's given some action, drop it on down. And if you drop your lines in the front of the boat, then you can usually mark them on your graph in the back of the boat so you can see exactly where your baits are at. Don't need a dive chart, you just need a sonar. And so don't just hang your bait or your rods in a holder in the back of the boat. Put them in the front of a boat, whether you got a 14, 16, 20-foot boat. Figure out an area where you can still see your sinker or your lure presentation, and you can watch it under your boat. And then once you've got that figured out to the speed and where it's at, you can fish anywhere. So just seeing is believing, and then you know where it's at all times. And troll through this, through the bunch of all these fish you see around, and you'll catch them.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest. We're going to come back with him. If you missed any of that information, go to the website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast. It's just that simple. You're listening to Wild Michigan.
You
can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by Michigan United Conservation Clubs, protecting your right to hunt, fish, and trap in the Great Lakes State. Camo at the Capitol is coming up. More information at wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks so much to the MUCC for all that they do and providing us, with a good hunting environment here in the state and keeping us protected is what they're doing. Brian Brosdahl joins us right now. Bro is a longtime friend of ours, been on since our very first year of the show as we come up into the ninth year. September 30th, our anniversary, 9 years on the Michigan Talk Network, 9 years of Wild Michigan. Cannot believe it's happening so fast. I didn't think we were going to last a couple of weeks, but bro, we've managed to stick around. But it's because of the guests, man. It's guys like you that bring all that information to us here. And we talked a little bit off air about rod setup. Of course, we know you like the St. Croix rods, but maybe we're working with something budget wise we're a little bit different. What about, are you using like a medium heavy, a light rod, and length? What do you find optimum for these panfish in the deeper water?
Well, that's a good point, because in the beginning when I discovered these before, like late summer, mid before the fall, panfish bite in deep water, a lot of times we're trying to get down there because you could see all these small arcs over deep water. It looks like a little fire halfway down, sometimes just a little over the thermocline, sometimes near the bottom, and they're crappies. And so we're using traditional lead core rods, and I've been on guide trips and like, wow, we should be getting them. We got little tiny crankbaits on, why aren't they biting? And then so you're trolling for an hour and you go, oh, let's reel in and see if anything's up. And we'd have three crappies on there, not even know, and dragging them around forever. They're drowned. But you can use, this is where you can get away with walleye tackle. And I like using the St. Croix panfish rods, and I also like using just regular walleye jigging rods for this deep water stuff. But I like to use an ultralight if I can. It's just a blast. And if you don't have that, just a light. And then as far as just fast, not extra fast. Extra fast is okay, but that's great for snapping a jig or rattle bait for walleyes. But it just use what you got. You could always just add a weight to it. But you got to know what the strike looks like, no matter what rod. If you only have heavy rods, you got to use it. But watch every movement of the rod. We really keyed in after that, and we started looking, and you just see the rod just move just slightly once or twice. And so light tackle is better, but if you use what you got, and you'd be surprised. I look forward to this time of year. Everybody talks about dog days, and I know at the end of dog days, I just get excited thinking about catching crappies. And my clients love it, too, when you troll little spinners and micro crankbaits through them over open water. If you'd be surprised, the big walleyes we catch fishing for panfish that are suspended. And sometimes the panfish, you don't have to look down 30, 40 feet. They'll be in a lake that goes down to 24 feet, and they'll be 18 feet down. But you got to get down to them. And if you don't have a dive chart, trolling chart, or even know how deep your crankbait goes, like I said in the other part, just make sure your rods are far enough forward in the boat when you're trolling that you could see the sinker or your crankbait on your sonar. And when you see where it's at and you see where the fish are showing up, make sure you put them right in line with each other and you'll be set. It's like ice fishing. It's like ice fishing but moving around. If you can't see your lure, it's hard to know exactly where it's at. And some people will slip bobber fish them in open water. Some people just jig and then hold their bait straight up and down over the fish. This works also. You're actually catching what's nearby at the time, mm-hmm. But when you're moving around, you're washing your bait and showing it to the whole crowd of fish. And I like to move around. You get fish faster. Trolling, you just catch fish faster when they're all over the place and they're scattered. You can sit and wait for them to swim to you, but on some days they don't move. They won't budge. They just kind of sit there, and you got to go to them. And another great bait for this time of year is a thumper head, a small thumper head with a crappie minnow, mm-hmm. is excellent. Or even a curly tail or twister style tail on the back of a thumper head is just great. And use colors that work for your water. If you're in really clear water, bring a two or three different colors just to try it. Subtle tones, perch tones. Crappies eat a little tiny perch fry. They eat shiners. They eat all this stuff. So try different, silvers and perch patterns. You can't beat it. And then also get crazy with some bright colors. When you're in dark water, sometimes black or traditional, like bumblebee colors, or you could use really bright glow colors. This stuff works really well. And if you're going to use a spinner, tie a little bow tie spinner, experiment with beads. Just using orange beads, and you can, if you look online or you check out Northland Fishing Tackle, they got the super micro beads, and you can just make your own setup and use a small hook. You don't need a super tiny hook, but a size 6 works really well. And sometimes I like to use an Aberdeen hook so I can get it out, but as soon as you see that bite, pull. Don't set the hook. I set the hook with the reel by reeling really fast, and then if you don't get them, you can drop it back to them. I see it every day. I get to one of my boats that reels really fast all the way up to the surface, and you don't reel it all the way in. If it's not there, drop it back again because the fish will come back. And that goes for panfish, that goes for walleyes, or whatever you're fishing for. If they miss it, they still want it. They hit it the first time, they'll come back. So that's why we reel. You could do a slow sweep, but don't Texas hook set. Mm-hmm. Where your feet leave the ground because you're setting the hook so hard.
Yeah.
I get that too once in a while, and you have to tone it down a little bit. If the hook is that dull, you shouldn't be using it, and these hooks are sharp enough and panfish have soft mouths.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, our guest here. About a minute and a half left in the segment, bro. What do you got coming up for the rest of your couple of months here before we hit into fall?
Well, actually, guiding through the whole time, and I'm heading to a Devil's Lake for the championship, the Cabela's National Walleye Tour, and it's going to Devil's, and that's a western lake that's full of flooded timber. It looks like nothing on the planet. It's a big reservoir. It looks like a reservoir. It's not. It's natural. It just the water goes in and it never leaves. It's got a lot of walleye. It's got a lot of stuff, and it's just we'll be trolling roads and stuff like that, and fishing flooded timber, and then also. There's a bass tournament coming up, the Falls International Falls Bass Championship, and that's always fun. One day on a river, a shallow river. Some people have jet boats. I don't. I just run my boat through five sets of rapids to get to where I got to go and hope I don't hit nothing. And then you're on the lake the next day, and it's a lot of fun. I'm not a tournament guy.
Sure.
I do them just to sharpen my guide skills, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, as always, man, appreciate the information, and thanks for joining us for 9 years, man. It's been a fun time, and always make sure to go to the website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can get a direct link to Brian Brosdahl, one of our experts, on the Meet the Experts page at wildmichiganradio.com. Bro, my best to you and Heather, man. Have some good fishing. I'm headed to the UP this weekend, and I'm actually going to try and wet a line for like the sixth time this year.
Oh, that's awesome. You'll have a great time, and remember the suspended panfish.
Absolutely. Brian Brosdahl. More coming your way next here on Wild Michigan.
Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first-name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Brian Brosdahl for joining us here. Talking a little bit about some late summer panfish and some great tips, man. And don't be afraid to go deep, and don't be afraid to move the boat. If you're not catching anything, that means you're either not doing something right or there's no fish there. Maybe if I can take my own advice, everything would be fine. Got to move off to our good friend Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com. This segment of Wild Michigan being brought to you by HHA Sports. We're going to talk to Chris Hamm a little bit from HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery sight technology. But we're going to go to a live interview with Dan Kimmel, who's actually fishing right now. And you told me, Dan, where you're at, but I squirrel. Where exactly are you at right now?
We're on Lower Pettibone Lake over by Milford.
Oh, over by Milford. Okay. So yep. You're fishing for bass. You say you've already landed a couple of monsters or monsters in the making, right?
Yeah, they'll be monsters in about another 5-6 years.
So what are you guys doing out there? I mean, how's the water clarity? Because we've had a lot of rain storms coming through here. It's been hot. It's been humid. Maybe driving some of these fish deeper. And what have you seen today?
Yeah, this is kind of it's a dark bottom lake with a really steep drop off and almost no shoreline. So they're down the drop a ways. We're catching them out off the drop. We're getting hit by these aggressive rock bass. We've caught about 4 bass and maybe a couple mystery fish. We don't know what they were.
And what are you guys using out there right now?
Oh, crankbaits, but we're already slowing down because there's like a front coming through right now. As soon as we launched, the wind kicked up like 3 times as strong. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I know today they said winds are probably going to get up to about 25 miles an hour, so there's your warning. But typically for this time of year, I mean, we've had a lot of up and down. We've had like no rain, long stretches, which are usually pretty good for feeding, as far as my knowledge goes. And then you get these fronts come in and we get hammered by rain to where we have flood conditions.
Yeah, it was interesting. We went to Lake Ovid, and there was mats of weeds, and then a week later we go to Lake Ovid, and there's no mats. The mats are gone because the water was up so high just from a couple rains. It was like fishing two totally different lakes, which I guess is okay if you like variety like me.
Absolutely. Now, what... When you have something like that happen, I mean, how do you change? You know the weeds are there, but the water level's high, and how does that affect the fish in general?
Well, that is a lowland reservoir, so what we did is we first tried the shoreline, and we got a few, but we weren't getting them like we thought we should. So we moved back out in the weeds where we had been catching before. Instead of right on the edge, we went into the kind of the middle, and we're flipping into any holes in the weeds we could see. And we ended up having an awesome day that day. Over the top of those weeds. I think all those matfish just had a chance to move around and stretch their fins out a little bit, and the fishing was just fantastic once we figured that out.
Now, does heavy rain have that kind of effect to push the fish around? Or I mean, I know the fronts usually do,
but when you have
a water level change?
You know, normally, if you're reservoir oriented, normally, you know, they go up to the shoreline, but even on inland lakes, you know, so many of our lakes are water controlled. It depends on how much it affects that lake. You know, Round Lake earlier this year was, you know, it was flooded, and it turned it into a topwater heaven for a while. That's just starting to actually taper off now after all this time that it's not as good topwater it has been.
Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com, is joining us right now here on Wild Michigan. And, you know, he's actually out fishing right now out in the Milford area. And, you know, it's been an odd year. You know, it's been hot. But in the beginning, we had, I don't know, beginning of this year, how was your spring bass? Because they lightened up the rules a little bit for us.
Yeah, spring bass was amazing. I mean, as soon as they changed that rule on whatever it was, April 8th or 9th, I went out fishing like 4 times. And one of those days, we were fishing in snow. And 43 degrees, I'm fishing with my friend Derek, and we, oh my gosh, did we catch them at Lake Panema. We caught a bunch of big ones. I mean, I didn't know the lake had that many big ones, and we hit it just right. They were coming into these little canals, and they were, once we figured out what to look for in the canals and stop wasting any time, because it was cold water, we just slow rolled spinnerbaits, and oh my gosh, did we got some nice pictures out of that. It was so much fun.
Now that's... That was earlier in the year. Now things change throughout the year. How has your summer been?
I've actually had a really good summer. It has been. Everywhere I've gone has been really good topwater up until the last couple of weeks. And that is, you know how much fun topwater is for bass.
Sure.
So it's been poppers and walking the dog. I've been walking the dog a lot, and the dog's been getting just crushed by bass.
Somebody's beating the dog, and it's not fair.
Yeah. I've had a really good summer. I mean, I've caught a lot of big fish. My last two trips to Lake Ovid, each time I landed a bass over 5 pounds. And, you know, that's just great fishing, you know, no matter where you go.
Now, for people that don't know where Lake Ovid is, it's in the Sleepy Hollow State Park, St. John's area, just north of Lansing, about 20 miles. A nice place, because when I was a kid, we used to fish there in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was stocked with bass, and there was tons of bass in there. And it was a no-brainer to go out and catch 70, 75 bass, you know, 10 inches and under, and just from shore. But
yeah,
now
they kind of overstocked that a little bit, but they had a interesting trouble with a stock vehicle, I guess, and so they just dumped a lot more bass than they planned. So yeah, it was crazy for a while. The bass were bedding so thick that it looked like bluegill beds.
Dan Kibble from GreatLakeBass.com. Also, that lake very well known for lots of bluegill, tiger muskie out there, crappie, bullhead, channel catfish, a nice variety. And of course, you don't really have to have a boat, but it's a no-wake lake. They've just in the past 10 years allowed gas motors on that lake, but it's still a no-wake lake, which is nice.
Yeah, there was only one boat running on plane that day. It wasn't us. We don't do that, so... It's nice because you can fish just about anywhere on those kind of lakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some deep water structure. When you and I fished there, I saw on the graph that there was houses under that water.
Yep, there's, I don't know, maybe six house foundations. There's some old ponds. And it's definitely a lowland reservoir with creek channels and ditches. And one of my favorite ditches is almost choked in, though, now with milfoil totally, which is... It's the milfoil weevils aren't eating enough milfoil out there anymore. So but boy, pitching in that milfoil is so much fun because you set the hook and you got to get them up out of that thick weed and they don't want to come out.
No, I mean, and that's when, of course, you're using a real heavy test or even a braid on, yep. on a bait cast reel because, you know, the spin cast, it's going to get a little heavy on there and it's going to be a bit different action, but... that's when you're going to go to those heavier things. And I know you like the soft plastics, like the beaver and things like that for the top water.
Yeah. I've gotten on a bullet craw kick this year, and that bait is just tearing the bass up everywhere I go. And it's kind of like a slender, fat worm beaver. And, oh, my gosh, I've caught so many, those several five-pounders, some bunch of four- and three-pounders, and I did pitch with a spinning rod, and my friend was making fun of me because I had the bass about a three-pounder wrap me around 20 weeds before I got him out.
Nice.
So, yeah, that kind of stuff, you kind of want the direct drive of a casting reel.
Absolutely. Dan Kimmel's joining us here. GreatLakesBass.com. You can find him online. Lots of articles, lots of information on what's going on with legislation. Dan is very active in that. Last year at the Bassmaster Classic, we had the opportunity to catch up down in Alabama, it was. And this year, of course, I was in... Where was I? In South Carolina. I don't know where the hell I've been this year, Dan.
South Carolina.
Earlier this year. And we're going to talk more about that. We want to find out more what's going on with legislation here in a couple minutes. Also, we're going to talk about our buddy Chad Pipkins, who just happens to be my neighbor and who did really well in a Bass Elite Series tournament here this week. So we're going to catch up, talk with Dan about that, find out what's going on with GreatLakesBass.com. So, Dan... Cast a couple times and we'll come back with you, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, we're going to let Dan fish for just a couple of seconds. We're going to come back with him. More coming your way. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website. We are on the Michigan Talk Network.
Georgia clay and alpine peaks at the bottom of a real tall cold drink, chilling to some Skinner or some Mohawk.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Alex Clark driving the machine here on the Michigan Talk Network. So glad to have you along again. If you miss any of this, wildmichiganradio.com is where we put the podcast. All our old shows are on there. They're going back to like a year and a half ago. I got to clean that podcast thing up. But we keep them on there for you to go back and reference so you can see who the guests were, hear who the show's content was. And it's all free. Okay, at wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Also, at Wild Michigan on the Twitter. We tweet like once a month, I think. I don't know. I'm still working on that whole Twitter thing. But if you want to follow us, it's at Wild Michigan, and we'd love to have you there. And Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com is our guest here today. He's currently out fishing in the Milford area. I want to touch on a quick topic, Dan. About a year ago, you were telling me about a young Bass Pro Elite Series angler by the name of Chad Pipkins. This year, I was standing in line at Media Day with Mr. Pipkins. I said, "Hi, I'm Duran Martinez with Wild Michigan, and I live in Holt." And he just looked at me like I was lying. And come to find out, he lives a few blocks away from me and did real well this week in a Bass Elite Series tournament.
Yeah, it's interesting to see him finish third. He did everything he could to win except had one off day, but the guy that won was fishing so unbelievably amazing that, you know, the best he could have probably done a second. But, you know, doing that well in Elite Series against 107 of the best anglers in the world, the best, I mean, that's really good. And this is on a tidal fishery, and, you know, we don't have too many tidal fisheries around Michigan.
No, and for Chad finished third. Now, what does that do for his chances to go back and compete in the Classic in 2016?
It did a lot. He's actually been in the money five tournaments in a row, five Elite Series. That's his best he's done. This is his third year, and that moves him up into 59th place. So he's got a shot at the Toyota All-Star at Sturgeon Bay, which will be good for him. And he has to move up about another 15, 20 spots to get into the Classic for the second time in a row. So, and of course, we're going into Lake St. Clair in 2 weeks, and he won the Open last year at Lake St. Clair. So he's got to be feeling really good right now.
Absolutely. And so cool to see another Michigan guy. Look, we've got Kevin Van Dam. We've got Jonathan Van Dam. John, a great kid and great friend of ours. You know, and to see Chad in there, that really is exciting for Michigan fishing, because it says a couple of things. That maybe things have changed a little bit mentality-wise with bass fishing. It's changed a little bit from typically a southern sport, like we've talked to Bill Dance about countless times. That it is now, you know, becoming all-inclusive, and people are really starting to take notice of it.
Yeah, our bass fishing is so good up here that all these people, when they're not, they're very busy people, but when they're not real busy, they're coming here. You know, don't kid yourself. I just saw a picture of Aaron Martins at the campground up in Indian River, so just yesterday. So he's in between tournaments. What'd he do? He went up to northern Michigan to catch some big smallmouth bass.
And to me, if I'm fishing for bass, smallmouth are my favorite, and I love river angling for smallmouth.
Yeah, you did pretty good at that.
Yeah, I did. I did. Picture of me in a 6-pounder, you know, sight fishing from a place I know up in the UP, and I'll be happy to tell everybody where it's at. It's the Millicokin River right there on US 2. I just pulled off to the side of the road, grabbed a great big double blade spinner bait. Flipped it out by these rocks, and I knew the fish were there. They were there in the exact same spot the last year. And that little spot is awesome for some very, very big smallmouth, a 6-pounder and a 5-pounder, in just a few casts, both released after a few pictures, and hopefully are still there.
Yeah, they will be. I mean, you let them go, and that's the thing. Our fishing, part of the reason it's so good is so many anglers are voluntarily letting their bass go, and I never have any problem with somebody keeping some fresh fish to eat, you know, as long as they stay within the limit and catch them legally. But, you know, there's so many people letting so many bass go. That's a good reason, that and the fact that we have so much good water. I mean, we're just blessed with water. We're very lucky, very.
Now, Dan, we've come into some issues with early catch and release for tournaments. I mean, look, here we go again with the infighting, with some of the anglers not liking what's going on with early catch and release, you know, and then some of them saying, you know, why not? Why don't we get on the page and support everybody and say yes to this? And if you don't like it, just stay quiet.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating to me. We just want to fish more. I don't even fish tournaments anymore, but, you know, if fishermen want to fish more, I say let them, because if there's no science saying that they can't do it, you know, the DNR just recently at a meeting told us they're down 90 positions from where they need to be to manage our fisheries adequately. And the only reason they're going to get there, the only way they're going to get there is if more people find more fishing licenses, fish more often. And that's all we're trying to do is maximize fishing opportunity. Our bass can handle it. I mean, there's absolutely no studies anywhere that show that, you know, year-round spring fishing for bass hurts bass populations. They're a big bluegill. They're really good at making more bass. And when you got 60 to 90% of the anglers letting them go, too, I mean, you're just losing fishing opportunity. And it is a shame that some fishermen don't want other fishermen to have that opportunity. I don't get it either.
Speaking with Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com. And, you know, you can visit us on the website. You can comment. You can send me emails to the contrary. I would love to hear it because, listen, we have enough infighting going on, and it needs to stop. It's all, frankly, I'm tired of it. I want to support all legal, ethical forms of hunting and fishing in the state of Michigan without argument. I'm going back to Proposal 3, where we had an issue with dove hunting and people making the ridiculous excuse that it's not a game bird. Guess what? It's the most abundant game bird species in North America. Okay, yeah. There's probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 states that don't hunt dove in the country, Michigan being one of them. Do you think they're going to stop at our line and not go to Indiana or Ohio? No, they're going to go and they're going to get hunted. And we lost that opportunity because people are uneducated when it comes to the outdoors. And that's not an argument I'm going to give up. You can call me out and would like to call me personally on my cell phone. It's right there. Do it if you think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we need non-emotion, science-based management of our resources. That's what the Natural Resource Commission exists to do. We just need to make sure that they're always doing it because emotions generally just get in the way of opportunity. You know, and people just don't understand that that's not good for our resources, not the way that our resource management is paid for.
Yeah, I, you know, and again, I probably went off on a rant there, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating that we have to come, you know, to blows with our own legislature and with this camo at the Capitol to let them know that we are soaking billions into this economy, and if you keep making it difficult for us, that money's going to stop.
Yeah, we've got a lot of support. In fact, we're going to be taking a bunch of legislators fishing the day after the Bassmaster on August 31st on Lake St. Clair for the morning. And I look forward to that because it's just a time for us to talk again about more opportunity and how our fishing is so good and why our fishing is so good.
Well, you know, Dan, if possible, I would like to at least visit that event for the simple reason to get some audio and some pictures and some interviews from these legislators that are unfamiliar with what's going on in the biggest amount of fresh water in the world.
Sure. And if you can, I'll send you the information when I get off the lake. You can come in the day. Maybe we can get you out fishing. You know, I know you've got to work or we have a luncheon afterwards. But one way or another, we can definitely get you involved. And I'd love to have you involved and talk to these because these are supportive, you know, people from the legislature, senators and state reps.
Well, it's important that they hear what their constituents are saying, whether it's in the outdoors or otherwise. Look, they're elected officials. They need to be made aware of what's going on, especially when so much money is being pumped into the state, money that is paying their salaries, paying the salaries of our DNR that are so underfunded right now as it is. And as I'm looking at my calendar, Dan, August 31st is a Monday, and I'm taking that day off. I'm going to be there with you. So plain and simple, I have made my statement, and as in the movie, "Oh brother, where art thou?" I have counted to three, and I am done.
And we will make a place for you, and get an extra sandwich for you.
You better be a couple sandwiches. I'm putting a couple. No. Make it one because I'm trying to get back to my skinnier self.
Your hunting weight.
Yeah, my hunting weight. That's it. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com. Live report from the water. Absolutely love it, man. And people, please, make sure you check out Dan. Check out all the great people on GreatLakesBass.com. Dan, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Duran.
All right. I know I got a little cranky. I got a lot more coming. Whole another hour coming your way. We're going to speak with Chris Hamm from HHA Sports. Also going to talk with Mark Martin, pro angler, here talking little walleye. Thanks to HHA Sports, Lucky Buck, MUCC, and Costa Sunglasses, this is Wild Michigan.